Bible, second book in the Bible, book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 2 tonight. Let me say this to you, all of you who gave to help provide meals for the two families with funerals. I appreciate it very much. It was very good. We had good offering, and so it was a blessing and allowed us to be a blessing to those families. So we have to come up with creative ways to do things now because the whole COVID mess turned everything upside down, you know. But listen, I hope you're praying for your country. Amen. Hope you're praying for your church. And pray for the membership. Pray not just for the ones that are sick, but pray one for another. That's what we are to do. So I hope you do that. I hope you keep that going. All right, chapter 2, if you will, look in Exodus verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." And we're going to leave off reading there. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of Moses, right and wrong. Amen. Moses, right and wrong. There's absolutely no doubt Moses, one of the greatest men in history. Now, you can take a poll and get people to name whoever they think the great people of history. Maybe somebody had named Alexander the Great. Maybe somebody had come up with Napoleon or Winston Churchill, or maybe it'd be some U.S. president. But anybody else you might think of as great, I just want to say this, none of them overshadow Moses. And the truth of the matter is, Moses is greater than most all of them. And here's the problem, though. Sometimes when we as God's people begin to think about great men of faith, we get the idea they were perfect. And we think, oh yeah, well wait a minute, that's definitely not the case. And the Bible gives us enough to take care of that thought, but we still have the idea. We look at them and we say, well, I could never attain to anything they did. You know, they're so far above me, you know, and we look at them that way. Well, really, that's not the truth, all right? Moses did some things right, and Moses did some things wrong. And you know what that means? It means he was human, okay? It means he was human. But I think there's encouragement for us when we realize that perfection is not the requirement. Aren't you glad that's not the requirement? And not only is it not the requirement, I don't believe it's expected of God's people. Now, some of the world expect God's people to be perfect, but God doesn't. So I just want us to take a look at Moses tonight, just for a little bit. Moses, right and wrong. And I want you to see a few things about him. First of all, I want you to see right there in verse 11, he was right in his motive. He was right in his motive. In verse 11, it says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens." He saw their burdens. At 40, Moses is about 40 years old by now, and he saw the plight of his own people. Now, don't ask me why it took him 40 years to figure it out, all right? I don't know. But the Bible said that when he was grown, maybe it took him 40 years to get grown. I don't know. But we know that, and he saw that his people, the Hebrews, were slaves in the land with everything that involved, all right, everything. And so the Bible puts it this way, he looked on their burdens. Now, I've got to remind you, he had spent the better part of 40 years living in the palace. He had spent 40 years living in luxury, all right? and living in the midst of all that luxury could provide. He was living the life that a lot of people today think that's the way to live. And they think that's it. But I want you to see this. In the midst of that, Moses had compassion on his own people. He had compassion on his own people. You know, I can't help it. I believe far too many in our day are consumed with self. And we're so consumed with self that we fail to see the burdens other people carry. Now, I know it's Christmas time of the year, all right? And when it's Christmas time of the year, you hear stories on TV. There was one on television tonight about a baseball team and the local news, and that they had took up and to try to help this family, just lost the mother and the wife and the family, and that's a good thing. We like to hear those kind of stories, right? We like to get in on that. I heard what it was, the same news broadcast. They were talking about Salvation Army Angel Tree Drive, and they said it, I think, maybe only reached 50% of their goal that they're trying for. And this is that time of year where, man, you see them out ringing the bell with the red kettles, and you see toy drives, you see all kinds of things, and everybody begins to think of it. But can I say this to you? I have found that people are hungry 12 months of the year, not 1 month of the year. People have burdens, they have problems that they carry 12 months of the year. And Moses looked on that, but we have so many in our day, it's amazing how we can ignore. We can ignore the burdens other people have. We can overlook their burdens, if you will. And sometimes it's not just overlooking or ignoring it. We just disregard it. But people have burdens. They have problems. And could I say this to you? God's people shouldn't be so short-sighted. God, help us not to live where that we only see with a limited view. Man, we ought to have a heart. And we ought to have an eye for the burdens of other people. You say, preacher, give me chapter and a verse. Glad you asked that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. You can't bear them if you don't see them. You said, that's why I don't look. Because then if you see them, then according to the Bible, you're commanded to bear them, all right? Hey, but we get short-sighted. We don't see it. Boy, it's such a shame in this day and age. So many people lack the compassion they ought to have. And hey, people's burdens, it's not just a lack of food. It's not, oftentimes the burden is not something that can be handled with a gift. It's not something that money can take care of. It is not something that You can go to the store and buy. It's just not, you can't go to the kitchen and bake it. You just have to help people. They need help with their burden. Sometimes people just need somebody to come along and wrap an arm around them and say, listen, I'm with you, and I see you're struggling. I see the problem. And could I just tell you, I love you, and I want to help you. I want to help you get through it, all right? I want to help you get through it. You say, preacher, I don't know the right words to say. Well, just come up and say, people, listen, I know you're struggling, and I really don't know what to tell you, but I just want to tell you I love you and I'm here. Yeah. There is no magic words that take care of burdens. There are no magic words. There were no magic words that Moses could have said that would have helped his people. Man, we need to see that. So Moses had the right. He was right in his motive. He saw the burdens of his own people. The only problem then that goes with that, he was wrong in his method. He was wrong in what he does, what he did. Now, we have a way of justifying everything that we do. We can justify. Now, I can see my brother do something, and I'm talking about my brother in the flesh, and I can jump on him and say, boy, how dare you? Don't you know better than that? But I can do the same thing, justify it with myself. I can find the word and say, well, wait a minute, you don't understand the circumstances. And we're like that. We can justify what we did. Hey, I want to tell you, Moses was right to be outraged at the treatment of the Hebrew people. He was right. Man, his heart was stirred. He said, that's not right. But he was wrong to kill that slave master. He was just wrong to it. I think it's Bob Jones Sr. that used to say it's never wrong to do right, or it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. All right? Let me say that one more time because I sure got it wrong started. All right? It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. And it's not. It's not. Listen, I'm against abortion. I think it's butchery. I think it's murder. But I don't believe you and I ought to go out and take a weapon and shoot the abortionist.
No, sir.
I don't believe that's our job. I just don't believe we ought to do it. You say, they deserve it. They might, but I don't believe it's our job to take care of that. I just don't believe it's our job. Now, I understand you wanting to.
Oh, yeah.
I understand you wanting to do it. Hey, but because somebody else is doing wrong, there's no justification for another wrong. I don't know how many times I've dealt with that kind of thing. Now, it's a lot more minor than what this is. But I've dealt with that kind of thing in our Christian school. Kids get to going and one, so you wind up, you bring them in, you're talking to them. Well, he did or she did that, so I did this. Well, that makes it okay then. No problem. Do it again. No, it didn't make it right. Didn't make it right. If somebody's done wrong, it doesn't make it right for you to do wrong.
Amen.
Just not that. Hey, he was right in his motive, but he was wrong in his method, okay? God's word makes it plain that vengeance belongs to him.
Amen.
Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. With some things we've got to leave in God's hands. Right motives do not justify wrong methods. Hey, Moses was right in his motive, but he was wrong in his method. But look with me, good, verse 12. Notice what the Bible says, and he looked this way and that way. Can I say this to you? He was right in his caution. He was right. But at the same time, Moses could never have said his action was spur of the moment. You cannot say, well, it was just, you know, it's one of those things, it couldn't happen. No. If it had been like that, he'd have went ahead and done it and then looked.
Right.
No, he didn't do that. He saw wrong and then he begins to spy out the land.
Yep.
Look around, don't see anybody. We're in the clear. I can do it. Hey, he was right in his caution, all right? He's very right. He took time to look around. Good idea. Can I say this? If you're going to do wrong, you ought to at least try to hide it from men, okay? If you're going to run the red light, you ought to at least look, make sure there's no policeman. I'm not going to ask you how many have done that, but you ought to, okay? But while you're looking around, make sure there's not somebody you're going to kill, too, would you, all right? But hey, it's right to be cautious. It's right to do that. If you're going to do wrong, hey, it makes sense to look around. So he was right in his caution, but wait a minute, he was wrong in his conclusion. Can I say that? He was wrong in his conclusion. Moses truthfully had the wrong attitude. He had the total wrong attitude. Now, you say, why do you say that? Well, he seemed to be really, really worried about what man might see and therefore think about what he had done and what he was doing. You know, we've not changed very much. That's the way we are today. Here's our problem. We worry a lot about what man thinks. But we hardly give much consideration at all to what God thinks.
Amen.
What God thinks. We look at it, we think about things, and we consider some action, and we begin maybe, well, what will so-and-so think if they see that or they hear about that, and What is this person going to say? What are they? Wait a minute. Boy, you need to spend some time thinking about what God thinks, all right?
Amen.
Now, Moses thought he could hide it from man. Well, I guarantee you can't hide anything from God.
Right.
I don't care how careful we are. I don't care how much you look around, all right? You can say, well, I'm going to get it on the darkest night. It ain't going to matter. Not going to matter at all right? Now, nothing we do is hidden from him. Yet we still don't stop to consider, what does he think? You know, when you're about to commit some action, the first thought is, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I've mentioned to you simple things, not sinful things. What Moses is doing is sinful, to murder somebody. That was a wrong thing, sinful thing to do. But let me put it down maybe where you live. We consider maybe a change in vocation. We consider a change in... here we've got a promotion, but it means a move over here. Boy, the first thing you ought to do, is not ask how much is going to raise my pay. Really, the first thing you ought to do, Lord, what do you think? Is this in your will? Or is this just me? We ought to consider what we're about to do. What does God think about it? All of our attention, let me say it again, all of our attention or to be directed to the face of God for His approval. It ought to be, Lord, this way with you. This way. Now, wait a minute. Don't pray like a lot of people do. Lord, that was okay, wasn't it? We're a little bit prone to do it that way. It was okay. You see, there's a saying in the world, it's easier to get permission, or it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Y'all heard that? I've heard people say that. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. We're not talking about your fellow man. We're talking about God.
Amen.
And you know, He does say some things about deliberate, willful sin. He talks about those things. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, Moses was right in his caution, but boy, was he ever wrong in his conclusion. He concluded, it'll be okay, I can go ahead and do it. But he never thought, what does God think about this? His attitude was never, Lord, what's your opinion, but is any human going to see it? How's man going to view it? And if they do see it, what'll happen? Man, our attention ought not to be manward, it ought to be Godward. What do you think, God? What do you think? Hey, he was wrong in his conclusion. Now, don't forget, all right? Don't forget, he was right in his motive. Now, he's wrong in his method. He was right in his caution, but he was wrong in his conclusion. But let's get a little further along. He was right in his choice. Now, don't lose your place here because we will come back. But I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, talking about really this time in Moses' life, lays it out in the great chapter of faith, and it lays out, talks about Moses, and it says this about him in Hebrews chapter 11, down in verse 24. The Bible makes this statement, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Now, remember what the Bible says? When Moses was grown, well, the Bible said here, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, my soul, what a wonderful, wonderful choice Moses made. He made the right choice. He was right in his choice. We make bad choices sometimes. I'm going to tell you, old Moses made a right choice. His choice was right down the line when he made that choice, all right? You say, what was right about it? Well, he was right because he chose to refuse position. Look, he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. There's a lot of historians, a lot of folks look at this. Scholars think that Moses, that his adopted mom, you might say, the Pharaoh's daughter that found the little bulrush, you know, ark in the bulrushes and pulled him out and raised him as her own son. There's a lot of talk that she was the only daughter of Pharaoh, and that was the only son she had. It was Moses. Do you realize what position that put Moses in? Moses grew up with that influence. He grew up in that house, and he made a choice to refuse the position. By the way, that meant he chose to refuse the power that went with it. You want to get people today. Folks today will climb all over somebody else to get a position. They'll step on them. They'll kick them. They will do that to get a position almost as bad as they will if a building is on fire trying to get out of it. It's back in, I think it was 1944, about then, when Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was playing. They were under the tent in that year, and that tent caught on fire in the middle of a performance. I believe it was in Hartford, Connecticut. May have the wrong city. But what they found after the fire, most of the people that died, died because they got into a pushing and a shoving. They came up against the line of cages that were used to let the lion tiger act out of the central arena and back to their cages. They came up against that and trying to get over it. The crowd pushed and shoved. They got compacted together. They died. But a lot of people survived by climbing over somebody else. Hey, you know what? People will do that in our day just to get power. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll deceive. Man, the truth of the matter is there's nothing they won't do to get to the top. To get to the top. Man, I can't help it. I think about government folks. Oh, my soul. One of the most irritating things to me in the world is to have to listen, because I try not to do it, but to have to listen to political ads. When this person is running for the office, they will take any little bit of something and twist it completely that the person they're running against has done or said. And they know when they're saying it, they're lying. Doesn't bother them a bit. Doesn't bother them a bit. Why? They want that position. They want that position. Boy, thank God Moses made the right choice and he said, you know what? I don't want that position. I don't want that position. He might made the right choice. He chose to refuse position. But that's not all. Look here, if you will. All right? Notice he chose to suffer affliction, verse 25, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to refuse pleasures. Pleasures. Hey, it's very obvious today that there's very few people that want to forego any pleasure. As a matter of fact, we got people who live for pleasure. That's the only reason they live. Man, to them, life's all about partying, and it's a party all the time, and we recover from the last one so we can go to the next one. Just fun, do anything. I grew up in the 60s. Teenager during the 60s, and there was a phrase that came out in that day that says, if it feels good, do it. It didn't matter what it was. Immorality, drugs, it didn't matter. Can I say this to you? Those guys and that group that went into Sharon Tate's mansion and murdered her and that group of people in there, they were having a good time to them. There's a lot of pleasure to them. Now, it's a perverted pleasure, but it was pleasure to them. Hey, there's a lot of people today, we won't forego anything to do with pleasure. There's a lot of people will not, they can't be faithful in the house of God because they might, I miss a little bit of fun out yonder. Amen. I want to go to this game, or I want to see that game, or I want to go here, I want to go there. It's amazing we're so good at taking weekend trips. Why don't you take a weekday trip, all right? Yeah. And let's take the Sunday as the Lord's day. Amen. Reserve it for that. It ought to be that way. No, can't do it because we're having a little pleasure. Right. Moses, can you imagine the pleasure Moses turned down? Oh, my. In our day, sexual pleasure is the thing. Well, I'll tell you, today's wicked, immoral ways had nothing on the Egyptians of Moses' day. Very sensual time. But he chose to refuse pleasure. That's not all. He chose to refuse possessions. Possessions. Oh, my. We don't do that today. No, we choose to collect them. We don't refuse. We try to gather all the possessions we can. I just want to get everything I can. We pursue possessions like there's no tomorrow. That's why you see people carrying around a telephone that's almost big enough to be an old-timey television screen. Big, man, they get bigger. I'm going, why do you want one that big, all right? Now, of course, I'm old, okay? I realize that old-fashioned. To me, a phone is for calling people. It's not for watching movies. It's for calling people. And it's not for all of that other stuff. But man, today we've got to have the latest and the greatest, the biggest and the best. We can't settle for anything less. It's got to be the fastest, and it's got to be the best screen and all of those things. We just go on and on and on in so many ways. So many ways. Man, we can buy vehicles today. I'm amazed at what you can get in a vehicle today. I swapped my 6-year-old truck for a 3-year-old vehicle, all right? And when I did, there was a little work they needed to do on that vehicle I was getting. And so they loaned me another vehicle. And I was amazed. And I traded in a white truck. The vehicle they loaned me was another white truck. But this one, you talk about fancy. Man, you could warm the seats, you know. And you could sit on that. And I tell you, on a cold day, that felt pretty good, all right? But it's just amazing what you can get. The vehicle I've got, my wife and I were together today on a rare occasion. We're actually riding along in the same vehicle for a distance, and she said, "I'm a little bit hot." I said, "Well, you can change your temperature on that side." Said, "I can have my temperature the way I want it. You can have yours the way you want it." I said, "I want to be real, real warm, so when I get out and it's cold, it won't bother me." Not because I was cold by any stretch, but if I'm real warm, I get out, and the cold doesn't bother me for a while, all right? So, man, you can do all of that. People today want a possession to it all. I got a message today on my iPhone, something about how to get your iPhone to do this or that for you. I'm going, well, I'm still capable of doing that myself. I don't have to have my phone do it for me, all right? But we want those possessions. We want that. Can you think about the possessions? The possessions he turned down? It says he esteemed in verse 26 the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Oh, man, what a choice. But that's not all. Hey, all the choices he made, there's some kind of a negative connotation. The Bible said he chose affliction with the people of God. He chose affliction with the people of God. In that day where he was, they were being afflicted. They were held as slaves. And, boy, I'll be honest with you, if you really choose today to turn your back on this old world, you're going to have a little affliction. Because the world's not going to understand. If they don't understand you, they think you're weird. Never occurs to them they're weird. And they'll begin to afflict you. They'll come against you. They'll make fun of you. They'll call you names. They'll do all of that. Well, Moses chose that. He said it's better to do that. I want you to see this. He chose association with the people of God. He chose, all right? We show self-affliction with the people of God. Chose to associate with them. I'll just be honest with you. In the world we live in, people worship the rich and famous. And some of that crowd is the weird and worse, all right? Oh, and people think, oh, I'm just a fan. They touch this, you know. They touch my hand. I'll never wash it again, you know. And people just crazy, crazy. Moses chose the people of God. The world today would look at that and say, why wouldn't you choose those Bible believers? Why would you choose that strange bunch, weirdos? And in the days when I was a kid growing up, they say, why would you choose those squares instead of the hip folks? They're not cool. Oh, my goodness. Could I just say this to you? I'd rather be associated with the people of God. Amen. Oh, my, I'd rather be associated with the people of God any day of the week. Moses made that choice. Hey, he was right in his choice. But would you go back with me? To Exodus chapter 2. Would you go back there? He was right in his choice, but he was wrong in his chase. He said, what? I said he was wrong in his chase. He was wrong in how he went about exercising his desire to do the will of God. do the will of God. He sees these two fellows out striving together, and he knew the one that had done the wrong, and so he tried to correct him, and the other one said, "Man, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You gonna kill us too the way you gonna kill me too the way you did that guy yesterday?" I can just think old Moses' mouth dropping open about that far. Because see, he'd look this way and that way, and nobody was there. Nobody was there. Hey, you know what? His problem was he's in a hurry. He's in a hurry. Go back to verse 13. And when he went out what's that next word? He went out the second day. The second day. Now, the first day, where the Bible indicates to us that Moses had made his decision, he went out and killed an Egyptian. Right. Now, the second day he comes out, he's now the arbitrator between these people. His people that are fighting and feuding, he's the arbitrator. Can I say this to you? Moses' problem, he was in a hurry. It was only the second day after his decision to do what was right. And now listen, thank God for enthusiasm. Thank God for zeal. But you need sometimes a little bit of seasoning, all right? People need just a little bit of seasoning. And God was going to give it to him, but he was going to give it to him out in the desert. He needed that time. You see, he had spent all these years in Pharaoh's court, in the house of Pharaoh. Now he's out in the world facing some real life situations. He needed a little seasoning, but he was in a hurry. He didn't want to wait. And he thought everybody would jump on board with him, but it didn't happen. Shocked him. Shocked him. Let me say this to you. Sometimes we get excited about doing the will of God. I would never, never throw water on anybody and try to cool off their zeal for God. Never do that. But I am going to say this to you. Sometimes you and I have to wait on God's timing. Sometimes we have to wait on God's timing. My friend, I'll be honest with you. I'm witness to somebody, and I know and I realize they're lost. They're without Jesus Christ. I want to see them get saved right then. Amen. Right then. They need to get saved. Get saved right now. But sometimes not God's timing. Sometimes it's not. My timing doesn't always agree with God's timing. And I have to learn, I've got to wait just a little bit. There's some things I need to go through. There's some things I need to learn. Let me wind up tonight, right and wrong. Right and wrong. He did some things right. He did some things wrong. Now I want to ask you a question. Where do you find yourself most often? Where do you find yourself most often? Are you doing the right thing or the wrong thing? You see, we're going to do some wrong, okay? We're human. We're going to do some wrong. But where do you find yourself most often? Do you find yourself making a bad choice instead of a good choice? Do you find yourself doing the wrong method? Even you got the right motivation, but you got the wrong method right there. What about it? Where do you find yourself most often? Listen, the goal of God's people is to serve Him, do what He says. Sometimes that means, Lord, you got to help me. Our attitude ought to always be, Lord, what do you think about what I'm fixing to do? What about you? What do you think about this desire that I have? Let me just run it by you. I want to know your opinion. Let's don't get in too big a hurry doing what we think because we got this idea and I got to do it right now. Well, no, sometimes I need to wait just a little bit. Have to wait. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, thank God for the wonderful example we have in Moses. Lord, he was a great man, but he was human. He was a man. He did some things right, and he did some things wrong. Lord, would you help us to learn from both of those? Help us to see what he did that was right, what he did that was wrong. Lord, help us not to repeat the mistakes he made, but Lord, to learn from them. Learn what he did right, emulate that, and Lord, do our best to avoid those wrongs. Lord, go with us now. Keep us in your will. Help us to walk with you and to be the Christian you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What a blessing to have you with us tonight. You're dismissed.